Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. An unusual statement was issued recently by Missouri's prison system, an announcement that the Department of Corrections was overwhelmed with quilting supplies. The surge in donations of fabric and yarn was inspired by a new documentary on Netflix. Released in May, The Quilters takes viewers behind the walls of a maximum security prison in Licking, about 2 hours southwest of St. Louis. The Department of Corrections June 11th statement said it's running out of storage space for fabric and other quilting items people have sent. It's a sign of ongoing response to the film, which shows the remarkable work of incarcerated quilt makers who spend many, many hours creating blankets. Those quilts with intricate patterns and beautiful colors get shipped out to children in Missouri's foster care system. The documentary is not only inspiring donations, it's also eliciting attention from other prisons. And to share how those developments and the making of The Quilters has all gone about, we're joined by the documentary's creator, independent filmmaker Jennifer McShane. Jennifer, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Oh, thank you, Elaine. It's great to be here.
So, Jennifer, how is it that you came to this project about quilting?
I was lucky enough that a colleague, a woman I work with who has edited all of my films, actually, we work together all the time, and we've known each other for years, and she had seen a local piece in Missouri about this and thought, something about it made her think of me and the kind of work that I'm interested in doing. I've done other work about law enforcement. I've done a previous film in a women's prison in New York State. So she just thought it would kind of strike a chord with me, and she was completely right. Mm-hmm. I heard about it and went and called the prison and asked if I could visit just without a crew, just to come and observe. And I spent a couple of days doing that. And after that, I was kind of convinced that this was a story I really wanted to tell.
And was there anything that you learned about how the program began in the first place?
Yeah, it started. It has been going on for a little while. If I understand correctly, I think it was the wife of one of the chaplains who first kind of helped start this idea of learning to sew and learning to quilt. She was in visiting with her husband, the chaplain, and was talking to some of the men, and it became clear how kind of bored and lonely and kind of restless and untethered they felt. And she kind of just innocently I haven't met her, but this is a story I was told that she offered to come back and teach some of them, and they really were interested. And it's kind of grown from there. And for couple of years, they were making quilts for nonprofits and charities and veterans groups, and you know, any nonprofit that could find value, they were doing it for. But then one of the correctional workers came back with this idea that he had heard actually from someone in his church that foster care children often do not have their birthdays acknowledged. And everybody kind of felt that was a heartbreaking reality. And so they kind of came up with this idea about why not make a quilt for foster children in kind of the county surrounding the prison, mm-hmm. as a thank you, as a way to kind of give back. And it really, really lit a fire on this program, you know, under the men. I think, you know, anyone who knows about foster care or incarceration knows that there's quite a bit of overlap. Many people who have spent time in kind of a chaotic foster care situation growing up can often find themselves in trouble down the road and possibly in prison or jail. Not all the time, but there is definitely a connection in some cases. So I think it really struck a chord with the men that they were somehow filling a need and helping a young person who may have been forgotten or felt uncared for or unloved. So they really, I think the intensity of their commitment was really impressive to me. And I think that's part of why I felt strongly that I want to make the film, because it's such an unexpected kind of intersection of stories, foster care, quilting, and men in prison. You just wouldn't think of that combination ever.
You have done work chronicling the lives of inmates in other prisons. What was it that felt different this time? I mean, you have talked about what was distinct, but was there something that was different?
Yeah, I think so, actually. I made a previous film in a women's prison in New York State, Bedford, and that was about exclusively about women and their relationship with their children. And it was kind of following and focusing on a parenting program where the women were desperately trying to keep a connection with their children and hopefully become, you know, even stronger parents in the process for when they were released. But this was very different because it was so hands-on and so, I think the focus and the attention and the perfectionism, in a sense, that this was very much about art and making something beautiful. And for many of the men, they had never sewed before and certainly would not have considered themselves artists in any way. So I think this was different in the sense it was kind of a self-discovery of a different part of themselves and an opportunity to reframe their identity, because it's a level 5 max. I mean, it's a very tough place, and there's not a lot of room for care and concern and making something beautiful. And then the act of giving it away, I think, adds this other layer that's just very meaningful and powerful to all involved. I mean, I think for the community, they receive these stunning quilts and think, wow, like this, somebody spent hours and hours and hours and hours of their time to make it just right and personalize it. So I think it's this imaginary bridge between a place that most of us will never see inside and who's there and what they might be capable of. This idea of the ability to evolve and change. And I think even for the men, it's, wow, I can be something else. I can be a creator. I can be a teacher. Some of the older men are teaching the younger men to sew. So it just brings up a lot of healthy ways to kind of keep their, I think, their mental state and their sense of purpose, which I think we all need. So in that way, this was very, very different because it really was almost a sacred space. It's such a kind of quiet, busy, 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 beautiful room in a sense, because it's packed to the gills with fabric, which they use every speck of, they use every bit of fabric that is donated and turn it into something beautiful. So, but it's just an unusual little space, almost felt like a beehive. So in that way, it was very different than other places I've seen. And the biggest difference is that I sensed pride. And like I said, I visited a lot of prisons and I've filmed in some, and I don't think I've ever felt that emotion from people who are there. And I definitely, there's pride in their work. There's pride in the fact that they want to make it as beautiful as possible. They want to be kind to each other. And, you know, they care about what they're doing. So there's care and pride. And you don't always find that.
Mm-hmm. On that note about the people, Jennifer, we get to meet a number of people in this film, and most of them are inmates. And someone who came across as a central character, maybe the quilting ringleader, as it were, is Ricky. Yeah. What was it about Ricky? I mean, did he immediately come to you as a linchpin in this?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I mentioned I came for a couple of days and just observed and watched. And he really is the Pied Piper. And in the film, some of the other men kind of joke about him being kind of like an Energizer bunny, like he's going constantly. And his story is kind of interesting because he came to the sewing room initially, was brought up to fix one of the sewing machines, because he was good at fixing things. And so they brought, but he wasn't part of the program, but he came up to fix the sewing machine. And after hours of working on it and finally getting it to work, he had a chance to sit there and, like me, just observe. And he thought, wow, something kind of amazing is happening here. Maybe I should try this. And he had some background in sewing from his family, from his grandmother. And so that's how he kind of came to it himself. And now it is clearly a vocation. I mean, he really lives and breathes this mission and cares deeply about it. So yes, he kind of rose immediately as kind of a pivotal person to help tell the story, in part because he really does try to recruit new young people to try it, even if they haven't sewed. He's very open about saying, even if you've never sewed, I will teach you. And he fixes all the sewing machines, and he really is, in many ways, is the linchpin of the program in a lot of ways.
Now, William Chill White is another participant in the quilting program. Yeah. And in the film, Jennifer, he talks about what it means to him to make these quilts for kids in the foster care program.
I mean, I love what I'm doing. I love taking care of the foster kids. That's what I love the most. And when I think about girls, I think about pinks, purple, green. And then when I think about the guys, I think about the blacks, yellows, the blues. I zone out and I just sew. This my out here. This what puts me on the outside. When I do this here, I don't even be in here.
And that was William Chill White, an inmate at the South Central Correctional Center, and filmed for the documentary The Quilters. You know, Jennifer, for these men you spoke to, you know, it sometimes feels like quilting is an escape of sorts, but also a way for them to be present and focused. You know, you mentioned it's feeling like a hive, a beehive in that space. What is your sense of what the quilting room itself meant to them?
Oh, huge. I mean, in a different point in the film, Chill says something else that I think is also a really important point. You know, he says, we grab this opportunity, you know, and he actually kind of holds out his hand when he's saying it and kind of, you know, motions with his hand as if he's grabbing something. You know, it's very intentional. They could be lying in their cells. They could be working in the gym. There's, you know, other things they could be doing, but they have recognized this is an opportunity to, you know, reframe, as I said earlier, and do something positive. And, you know, no matter where you are in your life, in the most unlikely place, you need a sense of purpose. I feel like we all do, no matter where we are as human beings. So it allows for that. So I think they've created a community. It's very, very much driven by the men. The prison is great about facilitating it, but everything is donated, and these men just absolutely are just driven in the best possible way to have this succeed. And so I do think it is a very special community, and I think it helps them emotionally, and it helps them as human beings, and it helps kind of the larger population because they see that something positive is happening in a very unlikely place. Mm-hmm. And I think it also shows us that art can be very healing, even if you don't think of yourself as an artist. And it, you know, I had a funny moment with them when I confessed that I don't quilt. and it was very humorous because I think they assumed initially I did. And I said, oh, I'm just a terrible sewer. And they really gave me a wonderful pep talk about just trying, you know, it's a great lesson for any of us that we can find ways in our lives to be creative, to be artistic. And if we're really lucky to, you know, give to others and feel like you're doing something positive and purposeful. And I think when you've really have guilt and other things in your life or regrets, it's so wonderful for everybody. It's a win-win for everybody if we can kind of pivot this into something that has meaning behind it, you know.
And the giving part of it, you know, we've talked about the donations, which have been continuing to flow in, but there's also the giving of inspiration. And you've had a chance to screen this documentary inside prisons, as well as a screening to an association of correctional officers. And there's been interest in starting quilting programs elsewhere. What is the status of those efforts now? And are these Or is this quilting sort of program being expanded?
Well, I know there's more than one prison in Missouri that is doing it, which is great. So they can share the fabric that has been pouring into the Department of Corrections, which I have to say makes me so happy because, you know, as a filmmaker, I'm thrilled it's on Netflix. It's had just, you know, an incredible response, and that I'm just thrilled. And the film festivals were wonderful. But if somebody can watch something and feel a connection with what they've just watched, that will actually make them stop and say, wait a minute, what can I do? How can I help? And I think quilters really feel this acutely because they understand some of this healing and power that we're talking about and the beauty that comes from doing something like this. And to take the time to take their own fabric, ship, pack it up, take it to the post office, mail it is phenomenal. So that, you know, you really always want to have impact, at least I do with my films. And so that was just wonderful for me to hear that. And in terms of spreading it, outreach is also something I'm very interested in. And with all my previous films, I've had pretty robust outreach programs where we've tried to use the film in communities and organizations that need it. And in this case, it's obviously prison. So I was at a prison yesterday in Connecticut, and it was a wonderful screening because, again, it was this opportunity to kind of have a great discussion over what can we do, what in our own facility can be done to make it better. The men had a lot of great things to say. When I showed it to the men in the sewing room, I went back to Licking and showed it. And they also said they would love other men to see it because even if it isn't quilting, any kind of program that is helpful to everybody involved, in this case, whether it be writing or training puppies or having a garden. You know, they also have a garden at Licking, and the place in Brooklyn I went to yesterday has a garden, and they give give what they grow to a local food pantry. That there's it's a win-win for everybody. And I know I've said that a couple times, but I really believe it. And when I showed it to the Correctional Leaders Association, many people came up to me afterwards and wanted to know how they could show the film to their people in their own states, including legislatures, to try to work on maybe getting some funding, because there was an understanding in that room that any facility, any prison that has good programming is a safer place for everybody. It's mm-hmm. just a better place to work. It's a better place to live. It's just a better place. And so I think there's this understanding in corrections that programming is really important for all involved. It's not being soft to anybody. People want to work and have a purpose no matter where they are. And so I'm hopeful, actually, that this film is going to have some interesting inroads in terms of having smart conversations about how can we think of things a little differently. And that's part of what I love about, you know, this particular film, is that when you think about quilters, you don't think about this kind of a quilter. And so, you know, there are millions of quilters in the U.S., and many of them have written to me and said, you know, I drive past a prison or I see a sign for a prison. I've never kind of thought about who's in there. And so I love, and for the men inside to realize all these quilters are really so admiring and respectful of their work. It's just interesting when you can bring very different groups together and have them maybe walk in each other's shoes for 32 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm hoping people are doing when they kind of pop into Netflix and watch it.
Yeah, so. It certainly sounds like what you're doing is a stitching together in many ways.
Exactly.
Jennifer McShane is an independent filmmaker. Her documentary, The Quilters, follows a group of inmates in a Missouri prison who make quilts for children in foster care. You can watch it on Netflix. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.